Good evening, everyone. Great to see you guys all out here. So this evening we have Jesse, who's going to be speaking on Anna the prophetess from Luke chapter 2. So possibly someone that we haven't considered for quite a while. So it'll be really interesting to hear what he has to say. So as an introduction, we're going to read a portion of Luke chapter 2. So we're going to go from verse 25 through to 38. So with that little introduction, we'll have Jesse come and speak to us on Anna the prophetess. Thanks.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thanks for having me out tonight. So as we've said, we're going to be having a look at this woman, Anna the prophetess. And if you're like me, for most of life, I've never really knew much about her. She's one of those characters that you've probably heard about. But there's not much written about her, as we've read. There's only this tiny little snippet in the book of Luke. And hopefully we can kind of discover why there's only this little small bit about it and shed some light on the amazing example that she sets for us. Because she really is, I think, she really shows this characteristic of rising up and build. She's a woman of action. She doesn't sit idly by and waste her time. And I think she's got some really impressive qualities that we can learn from. Now, as we've just read, there's only three short verses written about her. In my version, that's 85 words to tell a whole woman's life story. I want you to think about it for a second. Think of a friend or a family member, someone that you know really well. Could you summarize their entire life in 85 words? If you were doing it, what would you choose to record? Would it be something about their character? Would it be a shared experience, an embarrassing story, a happy moment, a sad moment? Would it be a trip that you had? Would it be about their family? It'd be really challenging, wouldn't it? 85 words isn't much. And if we did, it'd be a very minute description of one aspect of a person's life. Well, this is all we've got when we are looking at this woman, Anna the prophetess. We've got nothing recorded about her before this in Luke and nothing about her after this. And as we read, in these 85 words, we have an insight into the life of a woman who was patiently waiting for the redemption of Israel. And that's a pretty impressive thing to have written about you, isn't it? Imagine your name was in this book and you were remembered for someone who waited patiently for their Lord. And this is the hope that we all have, isn't it? So, just for a little bit of context, in Luke, if you just flick back to the start of the chapter, we won't go through it all, but just really briefly, they're taking a national census for Rome, in which everyone will return to their home city to be counted. So that's in the first couple of verses there. So they would each go back to their home city. So it wasn't where they were living. They would go back to the home city, and then they would be counted for tax purposes. In verse 4, if you have a look at verse 4, it says, "And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." So he's going back to where he belongs, where he came from, because he is of the lineage of David. In the next verse, it says, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. So they've made this trip. It's about 100 Ks. There would have been heaps of people on the road, as we know from the story of Christ's birth. Everywhere was packed out, all the inns, taverns, everything. There was nowhere to stay. And this is the time that she gives birth to the Lord. And as was the custom of the time, they head to the temple to present the child to God and make an offering. So if you flick across to verse 22, we see this. Jesus is presented to the temple. Okay, when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So this is where we're at. We've come to the temple. Mary and Joseph are there with their son, the newly born Jesus the Christ. And we meet introduced to this character called Simeon. We just read verse 25. It says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ." So Simeon, it's revealed to Simeon that he's not going to die until he's seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're in the temple with Mary, Joseph, Simeon, and Anna. And it would have been a life of waiting for Simeon. He was blessed by God with this foresight, this insight. He would have seen so many babies come through with him, through to the temple to be blessed by him, to be presented before God and sacrifices to be made. And he knew at some point, the baby that he had in his arms was going to be a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Simeon was there every single day. He was there waiting for a moment, the moment that he saw his Lord. And now that he's seen him in verse 29, it says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all people, all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory to your people Israel." So Simeon was there eagerly waiting the return of Christ. And like Anna, he would have waited a long time for it. So while this is all happening, Anna was in the temple and she was watching. She was there watching Simeon bless Jesus, the sacrifice that had just happened. And just like Simeon, she absolutely would have known that this is the one that she was waiting for. This child, born of a woman, was going to be the redemption of Israel. So this is the context for this character, Anna. She's seen all these things year in, year out. And then Luke introduces this amazing woman named Anna. So let's have a look at verse 36. "And there was a prophetess, Anna, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. And then as a widow, she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping and fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem." So Anna's name means grace or favor. It's the same as the Old Testament Hannah. And she's called the daughter of Phanuel. And Phanuel means face to face. So it's this idea of talking directly face to face with God. And this is the only time that this man is mentioned. This man's name is the same meaning where Jacob wrestled the angel in Genesis 32, verse 30. It said, "Jacob called the name of this place Peniel, for I've seen God face to face and my life is preserved." We read that she's of the tribe of Asher. Now, Asher doesn't get too much of a mention in the Bible. In Deuteronomy 33, verse 24, it says, "And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil." In verse 25, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." So in this initial description of Anna's heritage, we're almost told nothing. We can't track down her father and the life that he lived. Her mother isn't mentioned. We don't know the name of her husband. She's part of a tribe who doesn't feature much. And yet here's this woman that Luke chooses to write about, one whose name means grace and is from a tribe whose days are their strength. I almost think it's like Luke is trying to kind of steer us away from, don't focus on where she's come from. Look at the woman that is here presented to us. Look at what she does. Her strength, focus on the choices that she made in her life, because her strength would be renewed every day until she saw Christ. So as we've read, she's a prophetess. So that basically means she was a foreteller or an inspired woman. So it kind of leans into that idea of Phanuel, that face-to-face communication with God. Now, there's not too many prophetesses mentioned in the Bible. There's a few. it might be fair to suggest that the wives of prophets could have been prophetesses. But there are definitely some mentioned. Miriam, who led the people in the Song of Moses in Exodus 15, verse 20. Deborah in Judges 4, verse 4, sat under the palm between the people, sat in the palm between Ramah and Bethel, and the people of Israel came to her for judgment. There's Huldah in 2 Kings 22, verse 14. We've got Anna in Luke chapter 2, and the daughters of Philip in Acts 21, verse 9. It says there, four virgin daughters who did prophesy. So she's part of this really small group of women who prophesied the divine message. And she spoke, as we've read, of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she spoke day and night from the time that she became a widow. And I think that's really telling of her character. She was probably like that her whole life, even whilst she was married. And it would have been probably fair to say that her husband would have been like that too. They would have lived together waiting for the salvation of God. But after his death, this became her whole life. And she would have been absolutely familiar with the Old Testament prophecies, waiting unceasingly for Christ. She believed, along with Simeon, that Mary's firstborn son would come from the rod of Jesse. And we have that connection to David. We're told that she was of great age. In verse 36, it says she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. There's the age thing is a little bit ambiguous in a few different translations, but I think the age doesn't really matter. It's about, she's of great age, so the number doesn't exactly really matter. But it kind of shows us that age wasn't really a limiting factor for her. She was of great age. She was very old. And her days were her strength. So she used her age as her strength. It maybe helped her to focus. There's so many examples in the Bible, both old and young, of people who use their age as their strength. David the shepherd boy stepped up to fight Goliath. Daniel and his friends stood up. Abraham went out and changed his entire life. And Anna's one of them. I think it kind of highlights that no matter our age, just like Anna, these people acted as a voice for God. The age is not a limiting factor. Even though she was of great age, she used that as her strength to bring other people to an understanding of God. Now, after becoming a widow, she demonstrated her amazing faith. She made this conscious choice to give everything she had to working in the temple. She was young. We don't know exactly how young she was, but we know that she had only been married for 7 years. She could have easily chosen to be remarried. You wouldn't blame her for that. She could have chosen to do anything. She could have given up hope, blamed God for my husband's died. She's backed against the wall, and in the face of tragedy, she makes a conscious choice. If we look at verse 37, it says, she did not depart from the temple, worshipping with fasting and prayer day and night. It's a pretty amazing response to that situation, isn't it? Her immediate response isn't to give up. It's not to blame God. It's not to lose focus. Instead, she doesn't leave the temple. She worships, fasts, and prays every night, every day. And she's actively waiting and looking for the return of Christ, for this man that's been prophesied, this boy. And everyone that visited the temple over all those years would have seen her. Every year when they made the trip to Jerusalem or heading over for Passover, they'd go to the temple, and there was Anna every time. She would have been that light for people to see. Every year when they're making the pilgrimage, they would hear Anna speaking about the coming Christ. Years would have passed, and new generations would come through. Children became adults and brought their own family, and yet Anna was still there, waiting patiently. And I can't help but think that's such an amazing thing for us too. Am I patient in my waiting? Anna waited her whole lifetime to see her Lord. How long have I waited? And how long am I prepared to wait? So it says that she's a widow. If you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5, we'll have a look at this idea of being a widow. So 1 Timothy chapter 5. Now, we're not going to go through the whole chapter or anything, but we're just going to focus on a few verses and look at this idea of being a widow indeed. Let's start at verse 3, 1 Timothy 5, verse 3. Honour widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who is truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplication and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. So, who is truly a widow? So they need to be left alone. They need to have, so they need to have no family support either, or the family's responsibility would be to take them in. So you need to be truly left alone. They had to have their hope set on God. They need to continue in supplications and prayers day and night. And they need to be not self-indulgent, because she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. And so it's not just lost a husband. It's all of these things. And now it's clearly a description of Anna, isn't it? She was left alone. We're not told back in Luke that she had family that could have looked after her. We're not told that at all. We're not told that she remarried, and she definitely had her hope set on God, and she continued in prayers day and night in fasting and supplication. So maybe when Paul exhorted to Timothy, it could have been Anna that came to mind when he wrote this example. Anna was all of these things, and her response was that she never left the temple. She was devout and constant, and she never missed an opportunity to preach about the coming Christ. And this chapter tells us that the ecclesia is like a family, a tightly knit unit that looks after one another, especially the elders and the widows. Now, we're not exactly told back in Luke or anything if Anna lived on site, but it would probably make sense that she did. Huldah the prophetess in 2 Chronicles 34, verse 21, it says, "Go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do all that is written in this book. And Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvah, the son of Hashra, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spake to her to that effect." So it's happened before. It could be fair to suggest that maybe Anna did live on site at the temple. That would make it make sense that she was there day and night. She didn't have to travel far, and she was a widow. She was full of hope. If we flick back to Luke. She was full of hope. She had this amazing hope that kept her going. And you would need that hope every single day to get out of bed and to stay there, to be there year after year. It reminds me of that quote in Proverbs 29, verse 18, where it says, "Where there is no hope, the people perish." And at my age, it seems like waiting for even 30 years, 60 years, seems like such a long time. And I'm sure we all have those people in our lives we can think of, our older members of the ecclesia or grandparents who have just been waiting so long for the return of our Lord and stayed so faithful until this time. Sorry, instead of going to Luke, let's go to Psalm chapter 27. Go to Psalm chapter 27 because there's just a couple of psalms I just want to go to, and they really, really describe Anna. I think you could easily plug her name into this. In Psalm chapter 27 and verse 3-7. "Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet will I be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter. In the day of trouble, he will conceal me under the cover of his tent, and he will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. The one thing that Anna desired was to dwell in the house of her Lord. It was her security. It was her rock. Her head was lifted up and she offered sacrifices and praise to her God. And this is all these words describe Anna. How many times would she have cried out to God in her pain, in her anguish, in her service in the temple? Her circumstance of life was not easy. She was alone, but still she gave sacrifices of joy every single day because she had absolute certainty that God would hear her. Flick over to Psalm 92. Psalm 92, and we'll look at verse 12 to 15. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Strong like a cedar, flourishing in the courts of our God, bringing forth fruit in old age. The tree is absolutely flourishing. And I think this describes Anna as well. Many would have come to her for encouragement, as we said earlier, when people are making the trip over and over again, and Anna is always there. People would have come to her for encouragement to listen to the good news of the saving name of the Redeemer of Israel. She spoke to those of like faith every waking moment. She relied solely on God, and he became her rock, as it says in verse 15 there. And why did she do that? Because to show that the Lord is upright. He's a rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So the actions of Anna were showing the righteousness of our God. Turn back with me to Luke chapter 2, please. We'll have a look at verse 37. So it says that we have the idea that she was like a servant to God. It's this idea of being a hired servant. It's not the idea of just picking a random person off the street to do a job. It's the idea that her entire purpose in life was for this job, for the service of God. And it's a pretty incredible job title. As a servant, she waited day and night. And we see that in verse 38. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. So there would have been so many people coming and going in the temple, and that was her job. She was like a hired servant who was there every single day to preach. Anna knew that the Lord Jesus Christ had come to the temple, just as Simeon had, as they spoke face-to-face godly. As they spoke face-to-face with God daily. Her purpose as the hired servant of God had reached its fulfillment. Her prayers and supplications, her fasting had all led to this moment where she had finally seen her Christ. Such was her understanding of the scriptures that she knew what was to come. She was there standing ready. In that same hour Christ came, she spoke of his coming. She didn't say, oh, my job's finally done now. She kept speaking about the redemption of Israel. A last and faithful remnant to those who looked for the redemption of Israel, waiting, serving, and praying all day. She had hope, the type of hope mentioned in Revelation chapter 3. If we just flick over there. Revelation chapter 3, and we'll look at verse 7 to 12. And to the angel of the ecclesia of Philippi write, the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I'll make them come down and bow before your feet, and they will learn that because I loved you. Because you have kept my word with patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world, to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I'll write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. We know that Anna was of great age, so she would have had little physical strength. In verse 8 of Revelation 3, verse 8, it says, for thou hast little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. We know this is Anna. She's old and frail. She knew that the door was open and no one but God could shut it. She held fast to a crown. She held fast knowing that the crown would be put up of righteousness would be put on her and that she will be a pillar in the temple of God. A pillar is a weight-bearing structure, isn't it? It's this I just picture this old woman just there. It's like she's bearing a load. She's stoic and resilient like a palm tree. She's flourishing, an immovable pillar who dwells in the house of God forever. She was that pillar of strength to those around her, just like you are to your members of your ecclesia and to those around you. How often are we bearing the load of a loved one? How often are you that pillar in the temple of God that gets someone there? And the amazing thing is that Christ has overcome for us, and God's wanting to write his name on all of us. So what are some of the take-home lessons from Anna? Anna was a representation of the waiting ecclesia. She showed patience and resilience. She waited for Christ despite the many years that had passed. She never gave up. She held on and continued to wait. In Colossians 1, verse 11 to 12, it says, we also pray that you'll be strengthened with his glorious power so that you will have all the patience and endurance you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father who has enabled you to share the inheritance that belongs to God's holy people who live in the light. I think the second thing that we can learn from Anna is that age is no barrier. Whether you're young or old, Anna set the example for speaking what she believed, for doing what she believed. She rose up. She was a woman of action. There's no mention of what she couldn't do because of her age. All we have recorded for us is all the things that she did. God's timing is truly perfect, isn't it? If Christ had come the first day she was widowed, how many people would have never heard the message of salvation? She was that beautiful pillar of strength to those who saw her every trip to the temple. I think the third thing is that she had courage. I'm sure Anna spoke to so many people that didn't want to hear it, but she kept moving forth, telling about Christ coming. She had courage to do this alone. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 16, it says, be on your guard. Stand true to what you believe. Be courageous. Be strong. She was committed, and God provided for her, and she acknowledged it. She was a witness to Christ, and she listened to God's direction. She trusted and allowed God to direct her. I just want to read a final quote from Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, said the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Those that speak often one to another about our Lord. God listens to our conversations that we have, and he loves when we're speaking about the hope that he has shown for us. Anna was the person who provided comfort and insight to anyone who visited the temple. Remain patient and dedicated. Rise and secure your temple, your pillar in the temple, as we wait for the redemption of Jerusalem. Thanks.